It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den. The show that is better than being an exorcised demon. And I don't mean by using the ab roller. I'm your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
They are hopefully wonderful. Pip is out this evening. Shame on Pip. But she shall be back this week. On the show, a pet goat is tracked down, and it comes to an unfortunate conclusion. Florida man is now an event. It's a sport. School of Fools, and this was Joe's blog, a school demands a principal, takes down pictures of him and his wife and all the signs you need for demon possession. But let's start with our goat who is on the lam. Damn it. I forgot to start the clock, so I'll be looking to you. Anyway.
Okay. I got the ball.
Yeah. A California woman sold her daughter's pet goat to her local county and district state fair, but now she's suing them after they allegedly slaughtered and barbecued it. What, they didn't want to pet the pet goat? Stupid. Jessica Long purchased Cedar. I like it when my Andre has a name. Beloved pet goat. In April 2022 for her 9-year-old daughter, who cared for the farm animal every day, reported the Sacramento Bee. After deciding to enter Cedar into the Shasta District Fair's livestock auction, the daughter desperately wanted him back, leading Long to steal the goat because she couldn't possibly have predicted that this farm animal that her daughter takes care of every day, and knowing goats are sweet animals, she couldn't have possibly have predicted that her daughter might grow attached to this. Who knew? Who knew?
And the goat was adorable.
Goats are very affectionate animals. They're very lovely. That's why you have goat yoga. In the process, it prompted a frenzy involving local officials and sent sheriffs on a 200-mile wild goose chase to find and retrieve the cedar. But Long's attorney called the events an abuse of power and a sham. Long is now suing the Shasta Sheriff's officials, Shasta County, the Shasta District Fair, and other defendants they believe are involved and is asking for actual general and punitive damages according to court documents obtained by the Sacramento Bee. What happened here is an abuse of power and an incredible waste of taxpayer resources, Vanessa Shaqib, Long's lawyer, told the Post in an emailed statement. Government officials escalated a purely civil dispute into a sham criminal dispute. The lawsuit, which was originally filed in August of 2020 but amended in March of this year, police officers improperly declared themselves judge and jury and sous chef and disposed of little girl's family pet in violation of her due process rights, Shaqib continued to the Post. Officials in the state of California surely have more pressing matters to attend to than a publicly funded 500-mile joyride to illegally seize a little girl's goat. You would think so. But, you know,
miles each way for a goat? I mean, that's crazy.
I think it was round trip. But listen, California does not have a homeless problem or a crime problem. This was the most pressing issue.
They have a goat problem.
There's a goat on the lam. When contacted by the Post, the Shasta County Sheriff's Officer simply responded, "Unfortunately, due to pending litigation, we are unable..." Oh, that's delicious. Unable to comment. The Post has also reached out to the Shasta District Fair and the California Department of Food and Agriculture for the comment. In June of last year, Long decided to enter Cedar into the Shasta District Fair, which is a livestock auction, which sells animals solely for the use as meat. How could she possibly know, just because they're going to sell it for meat, how could she possibly know they were going to sell the goat for meat? This poor woman. The fair's brochure strictly states there are no exceptions. But what happens if I made a mistake? No, no exceptions? Okay. On June
25th, I love the no exceptions.
I guess she doesn't know what no exceptions mean. On June 25th, Cedar was sold to Representative California State Senator Brian Dolly for a whopping $902, according to the Sacramento Bee, of which $63.14 was to go to the state fair, $838.86 was to go to the goat owners. However, Long's daughter, who loved the goat as a family pet, the suit claimed, was reportedly crushed about the goat's fare. So she got the goat back. She stole the goat back. And then the police...
Like an episode of I Love Lucy.
Yeah. And then the police...
Goat there, where is the goat?
The police thought the goat was in one place 200 miles away, but it wasn't there. It was an animal... It was like in a goat refuge. But and they didn't have a search warrant or any permission to get the goat from there, but they stole the goat anyway. And they took it back where the goat was slaughtered, and the state representative was like, you can have the goat. I really don't. It's fine. And Long was going to refund all the money, but like the auction's like, well, we need to do this so kids learn a lesson. You know, rules are rules.
That is so inhumane. This poor little girl, she sold the goat. She wants it back. Oh, no. We're going to kill it and slaughter it so you learn a lesson. What lesson is she learning? That they're bureaucratic morons?
Here's the thing. The girl is a victim of bureaucratic morons and a mother moron. I mean, seriously. Your daughter is taking care of this goat. She loves the goat, and you're going to sell it for food. Yeah. At least say what our parents did. The goat ran away. The goat's living on a farm someplace. You sold...
Let me tell you something. We've been doing this show so many years, and we've been doing so many stories. I didn't read this thing 3 times to finally get into lockstep of what actually...
You know what?
You
know what? I'd like to call you stupid, but you're not. I was the same way. I couldn't figure it out. I'm like, wait a minute.
Did she sell the goat? We took the goat. Well, what? Oh, they took the goat back. They went out of their way to find. So you're trying to go, what is going on here?
I don't know why the police is making this, to coin your phrase, a federal case over this goat. I mean, you go to the first place where you think the goat is. It's not there. The goat's gone. What do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
And listen, we're not teaching kids a lesson here. Are you trying to teach this woman a lesson? You know what? Say, I mean, because the person who bought the goat is like, I don't even care. Just, you know, he doesn't even care about any of this. It's like, all right, give the girl back the goat. This is just...
It was a bad... Where's your sensibility? Where's your reasoning? It's just so inhumane what they did.
But I blame the mother.
Well, yeah. I mean, she sold the goat, and she didn't ask the daughter. And you're absolutely right what you were saying before. The girl's taking care of the goat forever. What do you think she does? You know, why don't you ask the girl before you sell the goat?
Yeah, it's like it's a little late. I mean, and you're not selling it to, like, another farm where it could be a farm goat or something. You're selling it specifically so it becomes food. That's what you're... That's the decision you're making. You have decided that the money that... This $838 is more important than your daughter's attachment. You made that decision.
Right. And then she steals the goat. And then the cops got to find the goat that's not there. I mean, it was just a comedy of errors, you know. And I feel bad for this kid, and I am so upset with the council here that the this is a rule and we have rule.
Well, Joe, rules are rules. Goats have died, you know this.
Yeah, you know, but it seemed it was absolutely no common sense. I'm interested how they're going to rule on this for the court case.
I mean, she's in the wrong. She stole the goat. Long is in the wrong. I mean, maybe you have an illegal seizure, but I mean, but Long is in the wrong. She was completely wrong. She's the one who stole. Once the auction happened, the goat was no longer her goat. I mean, it was stolen property. So you want your police to retrieve stolen property.
I know you have to have the cops go look for it. But, you know, I mean, when it gets in front of a judge, I mean, the judge go, look, what you did was wrong. They'll look over to the livestock people and go, you couldn't make an offer to sell the goat back.
But from their point of view, I mean, then you're opening up a whole can of worms. Then people are always going to want their livestock back. I don't blame them. I really blame the mom.
Yeah, I just feel bad. The goat was adorable. I don't know how I could make dinner out of the goat, you know?
Have you ever had goat?
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, it tastes like lamb.
Yeah, and I never, you know, I haven't pet the goat. you know, or made friends with it.
Yeah, I can't even do that with, like, I don't eat lobster, but I can never be one of these people who go, I'm going to pick you, and then eat him. I can't do that.
Oh, yeah, and the lobster death row at the supermarket. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I want to pick who's going to go in my tum-tum and wind up as poopies. I can't do that. I want to think that all my food never had a family or a personality.
Right, exactly. Well, that was great, Devin.
All right. That was great. Sure it was. When we come back, Florida Man Games.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. You are listening to Davin's Den. Thank you for hanging out with Joe and I. Pip is off tonight. Thank you. Yes, Joe. Joe is also pleased that you're hanging out with us.
Yes.
Yes, he is. So, Florida Man, we've done a lot. Well, actually, in our Biggest Fools competition that we do every year, Florida is now a category. There are weird things that go on specifically in Florida, and now we can all enjoy them, apparently. Because there's a one-of-a-kind competition set to hit Florida next year, and it's going to have beer-loving gator wrestling types off against each other against the most insane athletic showdown on Earth. That's a quote. Florida Man Games is where the bizarre meets brawn, and sanity is optional. This isn't just a competition. It's a one-of-a-kind Floridian spectacle, organizers said on the game's website. The first ever Florida Man Games will feature 9 bizarre competitions that are inspired by the... Eponymous? Maybe that's the word. Headline. Where the hell's Pip? Where the hell's Pip? She knows words.
I would have said epiphonymous.
Yeah, you would have been wrong. headlines involving guns, drugs, crime, booze, and reptiles, or some combination of the 5. The contest includes evading arrest obstacle course, which players jump over fences, through backyards, and escape from actual police officers. That kind of sounds like that game Manhunt that we used to play as kids.
Now, do you think the upside the kiddie pool will be there that they'll hide on? Because like kiddie pool, that's like the go-to, but like it's no cliche. Anybody, 45 kids find out like the kiddie pool.
Yeah, but if you're running quickly, you might not think they're on it. You might just run right past it. But why would a kiddie pool be upside down?
Well, you know, you would flip it upside down to hide on.
Right, but I'm saying, if you just saw it, why would... Because normally a kiddie pool would be right side up.
Well, you would have to flip it. So you got to do the time. You got to get up to the kiddie pool, flip it over, and get under it, and hopefully they can't find you there. But usually it's the most cliche place to go, so they'll probably get you in a second.
Yeah, but that's why you would do it, because you think nobody would be that stupid to hide under the kiddie pool.
Ah, strategy, my friend.
Yeah, there's a lot of strategy in these Florida Man games. It's not for the stupid.
Yeah.
So they Category 5 cash grab, where participants try to yank as much money in the wind-blowing booth. A best mullet contest, as well as the self-explanatory beer belly wrestling. The evening
I'd
will...
I'd like to see that.
Would you really?
Oh, yeah. Now, that would be good to see the, you know... Feats of strength with beer bellies, yes.
Because the thing about the beer belly is it's like often a very skinny guy that's all gut.
Yeah, but then you got the big... I mean, there's some big old boys down there, so it should be good. I mean, you're going to... You know, if you got a big old beer gut, you're going to go in there and try to get in there and win that prize.
I like how you're planning your vacation around this.
Vacation?
Where are you going to Florida, man? I'm the entertainment. I'm doing a 20-minute set at the Florida Man Games.
You're right. I'd take the gig.
Of course, who wouldn't? I wonder what the girls are going to look like. All right, so they finished the night off with a police officers and firefighters battling it out in a 911 fight night brawl of the badges. There's no way they're getting active police and firemen to fight in this.
And I never thought that – I never heard stories – well, sometimes you see it in New York City where, you know, the fire department and the cops, the chief of both departments will get in a big argument who's going to be taking the scene over. And sometimes it gets – you know, sometimes it has gotten a little violent. But I don't – I really haven't seen articles about it in the paper, especially down there where it's a problem.
I haven't either, but I guess you need this – listen, how else are you going to round out such a glorious competition of athletes?
Yeah.
But if you want to go down there, you'll also have the opportunity to take selfies with alligators, take part in the barbecue contest, and experience other cultural demonstrations, like bath salts, man. Well, he'll actually try to eat your face off.
Well, that's what I was saying. You want to take a selfie with an alligator, could you smile? All right, could you not bite my face off?
It's an alligator. Why are you doing, like, a negotiation with it?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not usually, you're not usually good with reasoning skills. Ask a zebra. But, yeah.
No, that's a crocodile. That's a crocodile. Crocodiles are found, like, in Africa. Alligators are found in the United States.
An alligator saw a zebra, he'd eat the zebra.
But he doesn't get the opportunity to eat zebras. There's not zebras running around in Tampa.
How do you know? Didn't they have zebras at the zoo? They have alligators there, too.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, yeah, but they have alligators every place. You, like, in your HOA, there would be alligators.
Yes, oh, yes. It's called the HOA board.
Well, no, because my mother-in-law lives on an HOA, and, you know, they got alligators there, and I don't think they pay their fees. The Florida Man Games was dreamt up by Pete Melfi, who owns the 904 Now, a media outlet covering St. John's County. Melfi originally envisioned a .5K beer run before brainstorming a way to plan with the Florida Man headlines that had become a social media phenomenon. Yeah, but not for good reasons.
No. You're doing all the stereotypes and focusing on them.
We thought, how can we really play on these Florida Man headlines that we hear so much about? Someone gave me the idea to make it into an athletic competition. I've never thought about these Florida people, what great athletes they are, as they're wandering down the runway at Orlando Airport trying to board a flight in barefoot and Bermuda shorts. I've never thought, you know, that guy's an athlete. Never crossed my mind.
Yes, you never thought that. No. Far from it.
So he says it's going to be a wild day of mud games and Florida-style obstacle course. It's going to really be an opportunity to live that Florida Man life for a day. What does that mean? After you compete, you go back to your trailer? What does that mean?
Yep, exactly. And you feel a little bit better about yourself, too.
Do you? I don't.
Sure. Well,
once
Florida Man.
Unless I'm winning fabulous prizes, and really, what am I winning? Free parking at Disney?
Free parking at Disney, probably a keg of beer, something, some magical prize like that.
So if you want to participate, you just have to submit a video for consideration. We're picking whoever has the wildest, craziest Florida Man, Melfi said. We got a guy who sent us a video of him pulling an alligator out of a lake. You don't have to go that far. Please don't put your life at risk. And this is going to happen February 24th in St. Augustine, which is spring training, kids. So a lot of people are down there for spring training. Why not take a couple days to see the Florida Man games? But here's if this was on TV, I would watch it.
Yeah, maybe it will be on TV, you know?
I mean, you and I sat down and watched Tag on ESPN.
Not so much so that I actually do a bit about it now, about watching Tag. How, you know, like, we were watching it for an hour, I lost $400 because my guy was hit three times, you know.
And like I mean, they put cornhole on ESPN. They put spelling bees on ESPN. I mean, this will be somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, it's gonna be very interesting. They're probably gonna have probably be YouTube. So I'm looking forward to seeing this.
Would you participate?
Maybe I should go down there.
What would your sport be?
I would like to try the evading the cops.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
I don't think you'd be good at that.
Well, I could see. Usually you got to run, got to hop a fence. You got the strategy with the kiddie pool. Then you run into the bushes. Then you got the dog. Did you see that? Where it all ends up, what if they're going to have the dog? Because when the police dog chases you, that's all over. So maybe, the police dog evasion thing would work.
I think I would do the mullet competition. I had a mullet back in the day. When my hair goes unattended, it does get mullety. I think I could do a nice, thick mullet.
There you go. All right. You'd be the guy.
All right. Oh, boy. All right. When we come back, a principal is asked to take down his Facebook pictures. We'll be right back. What the hell? What the hell's going on with this thing?
This is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
We're back. You're listening to Davin's Den. You are hanging out with Joe and I. Let me get the old School of Fools music ready to go because it is School of Fools time. This story is actually a little bit older. I went back and did some old, found some old stories that we didn't get to, and this one seemed worthy. This takes place in Texas. It's about a principal defending himself after he says he was told to remove an anniversary photo from Facebook following complaints from parents. Now, he's a black man. His wife is a blonde woman. He is in a tank top. She is fully clothed. She's not wearing a bikini or anything like that. Just he's laying on top of her, holding her up and looking at her. Maybe in some of them, he kissed her. So that's essential. Just trying to draw the picture of what it was. It's not like they're in thongs and shaking their booties. It's nothing like that.
Right. So
apparently some parents complained about, and this was posted on Facebook, and these photos were 10 years old. So somebody was like went on his face. A parent went on his Facebook page and just went all the way back on the timeline or searched his photos or something. I mean, really, it's kind of like a deep dive they did on this guy. It wasn't like this is a new thing. So a social media concern is brought to the attention of the district. So the district is like, we want you to take this down. So the school's like, well, when a social media concern is brought to the attention of the district, we have responsibility to review it. Some of the photos the district received contain poses that are questionable for an educator, especially a principal or administrator, the statements read. As a new campus principal, we wanted to provide a smooth transition for Dr. Whitfield to Heritage Middle School, which is why we advised him of the concern and made a request for the photos to be taken down. Now he's the first black, this school's 25 years old, and he's the first black principal they've ever had. He thought they were going to be calling him to congratulate him. Instead, they're calling him with this concern. His wife, Carrie, assumed the issue was with the photos, whose Whitfield was a black man with a tattoo on his arm, which was inappropriate. Whitfield thought the problem was him being in an interracial relationship. Whitfield claimed he was only told by the district to take down the photos because the district didn't want people to stir up stuff. As I got off the phone, my wife sat there in tears. I tried to do my best to console her as we both tried to grapple with what just took place. We hid the photo. No one from above ever mentioned anything else about it, but the damage was inflicted on us was profound. There also was complaints because the principal believes he was vilified for introducing critical race theory after co-leading a Breaking the Barriers presentation with two colleagues, one of whom had curated the program. Critical race theory argues that racism is not merely the product of individual bias or prejudices, but also something embedded in legal systems and policies. So some parents felt Whitfield's teachers were promoting a belief that white people are inherently racist. This presentation has been used to vilify my colleagues and now me, Whitfield said. The fact that they know I am not the creator of this presentation and falsely labeled me as such is one of the pieces how race plays into this hateful agenda. This presentation was approved by the school district, so he didn't go rogue with this. He also says he was criticized for supporting the Southern Poverty Law Center, which helps fight structural racism. An individual was allowed to speak his name during a public forum, which was against the rules. I guess there was no action taken to stop that. One of the parents who accused him of teaching critical race theory was also one who complained about the anniversary photos. So he's gotten a lot of support in the area. So he thinks it's racist. He thinks it's racist. And some people, so they said, like, well, you wouldn't, some, the school's like, well, you don't want to set a bad example, but somebody said, I think it's sweet. He's a happily married man. It's he and his beautiful wife, and they have a beautiful family. I chalk it up to educators are held to a different standard. Unfortunately, I think it's silly. I can't see why a husband and wife can't have a picture of them in a sweet moment. All right. So, Joe, this was your blog.
Yeah. You know, they bring up all these incidents, why it may have happened, and maybe it's true. But the fact of the matter is when I was a kid, you would see your teachers during the day, and maybe you saw them at the supermarket, you know, and that was the only time you ever interacted with, you know, teachers outside of the school. There was a sense of decorum that a teacher had that you would see them during the day. They were an educator. Maybe you see them at a school function, maybe you see them at a school dance, but that was it. But now with social media, you know, there still needs to be a sense of decorum. Now, the pictures that were shown were a bit provocative. He is starting a new position as a principal, and just for a state of decorum-wise, it should be, he should take them down. I know a lot of teachers, they don't post much on their page, and if it is, it's about school, you know, maybe a family picture, not provocative, or maybe a vacation, but that's it. I also have a teacher that was high school. His name is Mr. C., and he's on the page all the time. We're all friends with him. But when he posts his old pictures of us in high school, he'll correct our English. God knows he's had a field day with me. But it's in the context of him being a teacher. So I feel that yes, this person deep dove, he drummed up all this stuff to try to give this guy a problem. Here are the pictures that are provocative, but I don't think it has to do, you know, even though it may have been with his thoughts on critical race theory, the thoughts of the Southern Poverty Law Center, I don't think that is standing. I feel that based on those photos, which are provocative, him stepping into a new role as the principal, I don't think those photos are appropriate on his Facebook page. He should take it down. It's not, and nothing was stated because of his position on critical race. It wasn't because of, it was because of the photos, and the photos are provocative. So just to make life easy, just take those photos down.
There are no children on Facebook. There's no kids. There's no kids on Facebook. What started in colleges? Trust me, the youngsters have no need, have no desire for Facebook. They're on the gram and the talk. They are not on Facebook. So kids are not going to see this. The photos are 10 years old.
The possibility that they might is there.
They're not going on Facebook. And he hid the photos. You can hide photos, put them to private. And the photos are 10 years old. Only a stalker, a real creep, is going through 10 years of somebody's Facebook. I mean, can you imagine if I decided to go through 10 years of your rantings, or you went through 10 years of my rantings? Who's got that type of time but a loon? So
I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. But the fact of the matter is, here are the photos. Could you just make it an easy day and just take them down? I mean, there's sometimes I have posted something, I think, with our show. Can you take that down? One night at the club, I posted something. I get a call from the club. Can you take that down? You get the request.
Just
make it an easy day and just take it down.
This, I don't think they were provocative. They were fully clothed. And this is a husband kissing his wife. I mean, yes, this is the example I do want for the children. This is actually a positive example. He's not kissing a stripper. That might be a problem. He's kissing his wife.
But it did, you know, to me, it did look provocative. And especially, like, if you go on teachers' pages, pick out the people you know as teachers. They don't have anything out of line on there.
But that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it right. I mean, like I said, they're fully clothed. She's not even in a bathing suit. She's full. You can't see her tummy. She's not wearing, I mean, these pictures are so innocuous. I do think this was racism. I definitely do, because of all the things that he brought up. Because there's nothing there. The district should have said to this woman, like I tell you to say after an audience member says something to you, really? Really? Is that what you're worried about? Really? That's what the district should have done. They should have shut this.
But with the optic of him coming in as a principal, you know, I would just take that down. You know why? To keep the fanfare down of something unwarranted.
But you're only going through 10 years of this man's Facebook if you're looking for something. Yeah. That's why. Yeah. All right, when we come back, are you possessed? We'll tell you how to find out.
This is Davinston.
And we are back, last segment of the evening. You are listening to Davins, and we certainly appreciate you giving us your ears. This is for the Halloween time of year. Vincent Lampert, a Catholic priest and the designated exorcist for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, has witnessed people foaming at the mouth, growling and snarling, and those are just the Colts fans, during one of many exorcisms throughout the career. Exorcism is an ancient rite in the Catholic Church that at its core, Lampert said, a prayer directed to God or directed against demons. That prayer has the power of commanding a demon to depart the body of a human based on the power and the authority of Christ. That's what Jesus does. He's like, scram, beat it.
Yep.
This ain't your
beat
body.
It, stupid. Take your pitchfork and get out of here.
Scram, serpent. An exorcism really is a command to the demon to reveal itself. Hello, I'm the demon. And then once...
Yeah, you got me. You got me.
I like when a demon plays peekaboo with a human body. Peekaboo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then once the demon reveals itself, the battle against its will begins. All right, so this is... I got some audio from him. So let's hear it from the mouth of the priest.
In the years that I've done this ministry, I've seen everything from levitation for the body of the person possessed who actually begin to rise out of the chair that they're sitting in. I've seen people who, once the demon manifests, its body drop to the ground and begin to slither like a snake across the floor. You see eyes rolled in the back of the head, foaming at the mouth, growling and snarling. I've seen eyes change. Where the demon manifested, the eyeballs turned green, and the pupils became flattened like a serpent.
All right. Sometimes there's also a drop in temperature, a horrible stench. He says it's an unusual experience. He was first appointed as an exorcist in 2005. He became one of only 12 stably appointed exorcists in the United States. I had no idea we had 12 exorcists running around. Did you?
No, not at all. And there's a stable of them. They sit there in the exorcist room.
Tag me in. He went for his training in Rome. He sat in on 40 exorcisms in just 3 months. He has also served as a priest for almost 32 years since 1991, first becoming appointed as an exorcist in 05. Lampert's work has only become busier over the years. He told Fox News Digital that there are thousands that reach out to him every year for help. I currently receive about 3,500 requests a year from people all over the world who are seeking help from the church. Some of the signs that somebody's possessed by a demon, they speak with a very deep, authoritative voice. I'm possessed. I'm the demon.
I don't think they do that. We do it in that voice. That's not convincing. Show us your devil voice.
That was my devil voice. I'll try better. I'm sorry.
Work on it.
I will. I didn't know I'd be judged. Their complexion can also change, become darker. It's called going out in the sun, stupid. It's a tan. Yeah. He also said that he has also seen eyes of a person possessed turn green, and their pupils become like a serpent. I think you can get those like contact lenses, though, too.
Yeah, really?
So these are signals of a demon trying to say, don't mess with me because I'm more powerful than you. Look at my sexy green serpenty eyes.
Yeah.
Lampert also...
And then you get out of cross and say, no, you're not.
So they are not filmed by the Catholic Church. That's to protect the identity of the person who's possessed. He acknowledges that, you know, some people say you should film it, but he says, you know what, with today's special effects and the titanium Apple 15, you know, you could put anything in a film.
Anybody can make up an exorcism.
Sure. Apple 15, now with titanium. Get it for your exorcisms.
Yeah.
So there's a fascination with demons and Satan and the devil's big business today.
Devil's.
He's not watched the film The Exorcist. He's a member of the International Association of Exorcists, which is a group of 750 priests and they helpers throughout the world. It's the same organization that was founded by the movie's protagonist, Friar Gabriel Amorth. So they don't like the movie. They believe that Amorth is portrayed correctly, and they believe that the focus really is on the devil, not on the Amorth. Yeah, because it's a horror movie, stupid.
Yeah, of course.
So he did... So Lampert was emphatic that demons were a real force in the world, telling the story of a young girl who he said was possessed by a demon after she was abused. I did an exorcism on a person who was raped by her father beginning at the age of 7 and then felt broken and battered from that. At the age of 12, he said the girl's father turned his attention to his younger sister, so she's broken, she's shattered. She blamed God for allowing this to happen. That led to the girl choosing to leave the church for more than 38 years. Lampert said, until a friend encouraged her to return, an opportunity that allowed her to meet Lampert in person. She then asked him to help her. She believed she was being inhabited by a demon.
I feel bad for this girl. I mean, you have your father assault you. Now the devil wants to jump in. Yeah, I'm all right. Enough already.
I got to tell you, all I can say is this girl must have been smoking. Anyway. I mean, yeah, the demon's not going into a fugly person. Look at my tush. Look at my boobs. I'm the demon. The demon's not coming into me. Demon doesn't want to look like me. What's he want my old broken down body for? Oh, I could stand to lose a little weight. I went in the wrong body.
Then if he jumps in my body, I can't take this guy. God, is he a pain in the neck.
So anyway, yeah, so like she was possessed and he got the demon out. And the demon spoke directly to Lampert. You can't get rid of us. We've been here too long. I'm hanging out in the kidneys. And you're not strong enough. But anyway, so she came flying out of the chair and landed on the floor. And the other priest picked her up, and she's glorifying and praying God. And there was a glow above her, Lampert said, almost like a halo. They're not radiating their glory. They're radiating the glory of God. It's a sign that a person really has taken their free will and united their free will with the will of God. That's a sign I always look forward to knowing that a person truly has been liberated. So that took 45 minutes. Not a bad day's worth of work. Lampert,
yeah, really.
Lampert left off saying that everyone should understand about exorcism. Ultimately, he said, the main actor in the rite of exorcism is not the priest, but God. Even in an exorcism, Jesus is not a bystander. He's the main actor. So it's not what I'm doing as an individual. It's what Christ wants to do in the life of a person. Anytime we turn to Christ, he's always going to accept and welcome us with open arms. And in doing so, we can defeat anything the devil is trying to do, Frampert said. And now you know. And then there was a little rainbow halo that went over his head. He goes, nah, I'm not into rainbows.
I guess Jesus comes in like the wolf in Pulp Fiction. I see we have a demon problem here, gentlemen. Let me do what I got to do. Oh, thank you, dear. All right, I work quick. If I am a little rude, that's not my problem. We got stuff to do here.
Well, so Jesus is a busy man. Do you believe in Satan, Joe?
I do. Yeah, I believe. Yeah, I believe there's evil out there. I believe. I've seen some paranormal stuff, so I believe that there's that. You know, things like that running around.
So you believe somebody can be possessed by the devil?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
I absolutely do. Yeah, I do.
So why is it only Catholics? Why is it only Catholics that have this problem?
Because we got all the saints and everything, you know, the saints and all the apostles. And apparently with all those guys, you're going to need some bad actors. So that's how you get the devil.
So really, if you don't want to be possessed by a demon or Satan, aren't you better off being Jewish or Protestant or Hindu or Muslim? Because we don't get possessed by the devil, apparently. It seems...
Well, because you guys, well, at least the Jews don't believe in hell. So what's the point? You're going to an empty storefront, you know? The Catholics believe in hell, so it's like they take your business where it's wanted.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you don't want to deal with the devil, don't be a Catholic. It sounds like a terrible sales thing. You know, you might get saved by Christ. Yeah, but if I don't believe in Christ, if I don't go to your sect, Catholic, I might never meet the devil. I'm going to be Jewish.
Yeah. Then the Lord will hit the roof. You don't believe in me now because of the devil?
No, you believe in God.
I'm not coming.
You believe in God. You just don't believe in the Son of God. Listen, I always tell you, the sequels are, except for The Empire Strikes Back, are never as good. That's all. That's what the Jews believe.
You gotta learn how to work the room. You know, that's all I can tell you.
All right. Where are you going to be working the room, Mr. Curry?
November 9th, I am going to be at the Comics Cafe in Mohegan Sun up in Connecticut. It's going to be a 9 o'clock show. Go to comicsroadhouse.com. Then on November 11th, I'm going to be at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club in Point Pleasant with Aaron Berg. Go 1-877-UNCLE-VIN or go to UncleVinny'sComedyClub.com for tickets and information.
November 16th, Side Splitting Productions presents a live comedy in Newburgh, New York at the River Grill starring Johnny Watson, Ellen Karras, and Matt Dolan. For tickets, call 845-561-9444. Friday, November 17th, I'll be in Sydney, New York at the Community Cultural Center bringing culture, and I'll be in the center. It's the perfect place. And Saturday, November 18th, I'll be in Newton, New Jersey at the American Legion Hall. So lots of good stuff, lots of comedy. We can see Joe and myself. We certainly appreciate you guys hanging out with us. We want you to have a great week. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.